I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. We last covered the pitching version of BABIP to explore how you can quantify the pitcher's luck as a way to evaluate his talent and the legitimacy of his production. Today we'll spend some time breaking down a sabermetric stat called Sierra, one of my favorite go-to pitching sabermetrics to look into, so let's get into it. Sierra stands for Skill Interactive ERA, and it's in the ERA, FIP, and XFIP family. So when you see the stat, it's in the same format as ERA, so it should be easy to look at and to understand. Similar to FIP and XFIP, the goal of Sierra is to figure out what the true skill of the pitcher is and how they should be doing based on what is in their power that they're doing. So involved in the Sierra calculations are strikeout rate, walk rate, and ground ball rate, all relatively within a pitcher's control. And those are all usually a point of consistency for pitchers from year to year. So it kind of helps establish norms, and it can be used as a predictor, but more so you should be looking at it as sort of an ERA estimator. So these are things, strikeout rate, walk rate, and ground ball rate, that you want in an ERA predictor because you want to measure what a pitcher has control of in order to measure his skill. So what Sierra does that stats like FIP and XFIP don't do is that it factors in the type of ball that gets put into play and adjusts for that result. The formula for Sierra is incredibly complicated. If you are a math person, I suggest looking into it. But to help make sense of it, you can think of it this way. If a pitcher has a high XFIP, but he has induced a high proportion of grounders and pop-ups instead of line drives, his Sierra will be lower than his XFIP because he's being rewarded by Sierra for the grounders and fly balls he's inducing, since ground balls and fly balls tend to result in outs more often than a line drive does. So the big difference between Sierra and FIP and XFIP is that it considers the types of hits that a pitcher is inducing and posits that pitchers do have that in their control, at least to a certain point. So all that being said, if Sierra still seems a little bit confusing, here's an easier way to think about it. High strikeouts, low walks, and high ground ball percentage all result in a lower Sierra and point to a pitcher who's doing what is in his power to reveal his true talent. Sierra is a really, really important stat to research when you're looking into pitchers. It reveals just how important it is for pitchers to get strikeouts and gives value to pitchers who may not get a ton of strikeouts but can still induce ground balls or who don't walk that many batters. If a pitcher is inducing ground balls, can result in outs, can result in double plays. So again, Sierra rewards pitchers for doing those things. Sierra factors in the ability of pitchers to get outs in other ways besides strikes, which again, FIP and XFIP don't do. So looking at the top 12 qualified pitchers from last year and specifically looking at their Sierra from 2019, all of the top 12 had a 10.5 strikeouts per nine or more. So again, you know, it's rewarding those high strikeout pitchers. And, you know, hardly any of these names are going to be surprising. Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer, Verlander, DeGrom, Bieber, Strasburg, Buehler, Charlie Morton, Giolito, Yu Darvish, Matthew Boyd, Flaherty, they all show up on the list of top 10 in Sierra. Now, you know, the top nine of those players shouldn't be that surprising to see, nor is Flaherty. They're all high strikeout pitchers that you likely drafted pretty early. The names I like, though, that offer some value are Yu Darvish and Matthew Boyd. Matthew Boyd's ERA was nearly a point higher, a run higher than his Sierra, suggesting that his true talent is that of a high strikeout, mid-3 ERA pitcher in the family of Giolito, Lance Lynn, or even Aaron Nola. And understanding Sierra can help you find value in players like that who, on the surface, you know, his 4+ ERA might not look that good, but he's actually pitching well. You know, their ERA might make you think they're much worse than they actually are, but that's because ERA is not a good enough stat to evaluate. So something that I've established in the last few podcast episodes, something that's kind of understood now by many baseball analysts, is that ERA doesn't consider luck, doesn't consider park factors and fielding, and it is not the best barometer at how a pitcher is truly doing, because there's so many things out of a pitcher's control that don't get factored into ERA. With Sierra, all of those things are considered, and so it's a much better measurement of how the pitcher himself is doing. Another example, FIP doesn't take balls in play into account. Therefore, it's limited as an evaluation tool. It can paint you some of the picture, but not the whole thing. According to another great website for fantasy baseball fans, FanSided, it says Sierra is the most in-depth ERA estimator you're going to find, and it is also the most accurate. It performs better than FIP and XFIP in predicting next year's ERA and in year-to-year consistency. So my final recommendation with Sierra is continue monitoring pitchers' Sierras throughout the season. When you're evaluating them for the following season, take a look at the previous year's Sierra. And, you know, like always, look at this stat in conjunction with other stats. Don't just go straight to this and let it be the be-all, end-all. You know, but if you're seeing discrepancies between FIP or XFIP and Sierra, I lean towards the latter in my analysis. Sierra is an easy stat to find on FanGraphs. So if you want to do a little research, you can go to FanGraphs.com. At the top right, you'll see a tab for leaders. You'll select 2019 from the drop-down, 2019 pitching leaders. And once the season gets started, which hopefully is going to happen, you'll be looking at 2020 data. And then you'll want to scroll down a little bit. You'll select advanced from the toolbar. And then once you've done that, you can sort Sierra either from high to low or low to high. You want to see the best pitchers, so sort it from low to high. It's in the column all the way to the right. Now, as I said before, a lot of those top guys are not going to be surprising. So let's look at a few players that have a discrepancy between their ERA and their Sierra in either direction. One very large gap is Hyunjin Ryu's ERA to his Sierra. He had an outstanding year last year with an incredible 2.32 ERA. Sierra, though, suggested he should have been closer to 3.77. This is why I never wanted Ryu last year and why I refused to draft him this year. I didn't trust what his ERA was telling me. On the other hand, Herman Marquez had a bloated 4.76 ERA, but his Sierra, which takes into account the park factor of pitching in Colorado, suggests he should have pitched nearly a run better at 3.85. So finally, who should you target this year based on Sierra? My suggestion is Robbie Ray, although with a caveat. Remember, Sierra rewards a low walk rate, a high strikeout rate, and a good ground ball rate. Robbie Ray had a horrible walk rate last year, averaging nearly 4.5 walks per 9 innings, and still managed a 4.02 Sierra versus a 4.34 ERA. This means he's a better pitcher than his 4.34 ERA suggests. In the 3 years previous, he has had a sub-4 Sierra at 3.89, 3.53, and 3.59, with only the 353 Sierra being higher than his ERA that year. So the caveat with suggesting Robbie Ray is watching the walk rate. If you see his walk rate spiking and his Sierra starts to spike, I'd cut ties even if his ERA looks good. And in fact, that's more reason to try trading him in that case. Draft him, but keep an eye on him. I'll be right back to talk about the domino effect that's going to happen with players opting out this year. So in addition to talking about Sierra, I also wanted to spend some time today going over the impact of players opting out of the season. But rather than focusing on them, I want to focus on who's going to be impacted most by those decisions. So first, here are the major players that have opted out in 2020. And although the names might not be huge, the impact will be felt in fantasy baseball. So Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross from the Nationals are sitting out this year. Ian Desmond from the Rockies, David Price from the Dodgers, and Nick Markakis from the Braves are all opting out. So first, with Ryan Zimmerman opting out, you have a platoon spot opening up at first base for the Nationals. Zim would have also been a prime designated hitter candidate. So who's going to benefit most from his absence? I think you're likely to see more at-bats from Howie Kendrick at first and at DH, as well as Eric Thames. So I think those guys, especially Kendrick, get a lot of added value. You know, Kendrick had a great year last year. He's already an excellent hitter, and giving him more time could be really beneficial if you've got him, and he could be a great late-round flyer. I also think there's a chance for more at-bats for Asdrubal Cabrera as well, who had a decent year last year with the Nats in the second half. Another National that opted out was Joe Ross, who likely would have been the fifth starter. Instead, you're likely to see Eric Fetty and Austin Voth compete for time there. So watch them, because one of them is going to emerge and should probably be pretty good. The other one is likely to become a stretch arm in the bullpen, which could also turn out to be a really valuable asset to have this year, especially early on, especially if pitchers are not able to go deep into games. A former National and current Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond will also not be playing this year, and a crowded Rockies outfield should end up becoming a little bit clearer. Charlie Blackmon's time in the outfield was never really in question, though they should DH him since his defense is in decline. If they do that, it would open the outfield even more, but with just Desmond sitting out, that means you have more time, more at-bats for David Dahl, Garrett Hampson, Sam Hilliard, and Raimel Tapia to see at-bats. David Price sitting out is going to create a major domino effect in the Dodgers clubhouse, especially in their pitching rotation and the bullpen. Bueller and Kershaw definitely numbers one and two in the rotation. I think we're likely to see Alex Wood in the rotation, but the rest is kind of unclear. The Dodgers have Julio Urias, Dustin May, Ross Stripling, Bruce Dark-Gratterall, and Tony Gonsolin, all who could see time starting. You could see a six-man rotation in LA. You could see a rotation where some pitchers start for three innings, then another arm comes in for another three innings before going to, you know, a setup man or a closer. So my suggestion for the Dodgers pitchers is to keep an eye especially on Urias, May, Stripling, Gratterall, and Gonsolin, because you could find value with all of them, and it's really likely that in your league, Bueller and Kershaw are on somebody's roster and they're going to stay there. Finally, Nick Markakis is sitting out this year. Likely the starting right fielder, Markakis' absence opens a hole in the outfield and in the lineup. Acuna may end up moving to right for Ender and Ciarte to play center full-time, so that may give Ciarte some more at-bats. What may end up happening is that there's more playing time in left field for Ozuna and Austin Riley. You could see a platoon there. You could see a platoon in center in some combination with Ender and Ciarte. Somebody else to really keep an eye on is their prospect Christian Pache, who is, you know, highly touted, a good hitter. He's fast and he's a good outfielder. He might get to see some time and could be valuable for fantasy baseball. Well, that's all for today. Next time we'll do an intro to StatCast data and what that entails. Thanks for listening.